I don't think I've ever really met Joe Henry, sir.
Yes, no, I haven't. Oh, well, I see you're around for the world.
I know you're
out there. Sit down. Let me just, I marked this up in ways that you can probably figure out what I have in mind. Let me say a couple of things with regard to the timeout. They'll be standing up. This crowd, it's a standing crowd. They're used to standing attention. They have a long time. They're very tired. Might be hot, might be rain. So I think we were getting in terms of the maximum of 10 to 12 minutes at the most, perhaps 10. Second, as it's written, it's fine. It's excellent. The point is that I want to shift, in terms of most of the occurrences now, shift the subject of the debate away from Vietnam and to what was all in the sure fight. Three press conferences, it's my understanding that the people are obsessed with it. I'm trying to live their sights, but to see beyond. In other words, we've got to talk about what's America going to be in Vietnam. I made a rather long background statement. While Vietnam at the moment is our most difficult issue, it's the issue in which we have the most certain answer. Most of you, we argue about when, we argue about how. It's going to be over, and it's going to be over successfully. That, if I were certain about Russia, about the Mideast, or about China, as I were about Vietnam, we'd be in, see, you're not going to put that in the speech, but that is the point that I think everybody's got to start trying to understand. So therefore, you've got to understand, well, there's no debate about Vietnam and this and that. Should we have a deadline? Should we go a little further? Should we or should we not? But this is an issue that is moving. We're going to see it through. We were on a path. It's going to be ended. It's going to be ended in a way that was for the majority of other aggressions of this type. And therefore make the Pacific more peaceful in the world. That's what I believe. Now, I think therefore that I've gone through and marked this up in a way where I've indicated those places where I think you are useful, where it fits into your new draft. I say, okay, parts will be included. It's going to make it all too long. But here's the way that you begin to do. I think a rather neat way to get into it might be a lot of us here, I would say, on three pages, and some of you have to do it. I start and then I start over again. But you can figure it out on this. There are 3,400 men here today. I am glad that very few of you will be called on to serve.
Only 20 out of the 730 graduating.
They're graduating now. That very few of those standing before will be called on to serve. And it is my hope, and this of course is the direction of our policy, that great majority of you will not be called upon to serve in any war. There, get it right out there. Now, what then is your purpose? And it is less hazardous, but more difficult to serve in peace than in war. Now, that means you've worked in a different place. Eisenhower used to say that service, and he ought to know, that service in peacetime is more difficult than in wartime. I suppose if you look at Vietnam, it's referring to World War II and World War I. support the budget. But basically, in peacetime, without going into the difference between that, about why everyone is called, you can say that, I sort of pick up the fact that, your service could mean more. You could contribute more to the process. Could mean more to the process. So, on that note, the last piece, service to those who someone loves so much. Then, basically, I sort of go into the idea that understandably, you're concerned about it. And this is the top of our concern. Let us understand that this war we are ending, and we're ending in a way which will contribute to lasting peace. Make the point, say it positively.
But don't dwell on it.
Huh?
Say it and then don't dwell on it.
Don't dwell on it. You take a look at that business that I dwell on. It's a good language. Sort of read through that and it'll be like it. Then, perhaps pick it up there. And then you sort of take one around. Another way, I'm just throwing my way. Do the honor, our duty is concerned, there's no question. I am convinced that your service will be your service will need more peace than that of your grandfather. Then we live at the beginning. Here we are, and I cover this up there. You read the beginning of the year. Now that's what we should. Then briefly you go into the superpowers. And I cover that up there with the Chinese and our own the European development, the United Europe, and and on the Middle East, there's still the dangerous spots, the Navy and cruise spots, and so forth. And there are still major spots around the war that I'm suggesting. Nobody in the right mind suggests that. An indispensable factor, if there is to be a chance for peace in the world, our goal is America's strength. And, this is back to the other page here, and that, whether we have peace depends on America's will to maintain adequate strength until there's a future reduction in war. I had there a fairly good quote in mind, which I worked out and that stuff up there in Alabama, where I said that when we talk about limitation of arms, we are interested in that, but not as an end in itself. We talk about an end limitation of arms because it serves the end of contributing to a more peaceful world, right? Who the hell would care if we had all sorts of nuclear things floating around? unless they threaten the peace of the world. So, now, a mutual limitation or a reduction of arms, a mutual limitation of arms, serves the cause. A unilateral limitation or reduction increases the danger of war. The price of time for the better of balance. And that's true not only of America versus America vis-a-vis the Soviet Union to pursue the superpower. It's true in a miserable place like the Middle East, where our policy really is one factor as far as Israel is concerned, is to maintain the balance of power. And because if they don't maintain it, there would be a war of revenge on the part of Israel's neighbors. And if we go too far and build it up, Israel kick head on them again. It's true. So, but anyway, I'm not suggesting you get into all this, but I'm suggesting just the philosophy. Now, so before we work on this, read that. I did long, it's about 45 to 50 minutes, something a lot of it was wrong. It would give you a little of my thing, because I try to put it in context. So the Chinese, our military strength, and our economic strength, our moral strength, our political strength, and all that sort of thing. Now, let's go on. I digress. Indispensable fact. The indispensable fact, or maybe there are stronger terms, the indispensable. And as far as that, maintaining that strength is going to require the ultimate of you, the best of you in terms of war. As far as recognition is concerned, recognition, as far as honor in terms of public recognition is concerned, you will not get what you deserve. But the country, maybe here's what you do not, but this country will be a great people you will never know will be extended generations to come because you maintain strength centuries. Going on from there, I'd like to get into the theme that standard, but be proud of your country. Be proud of the uniform. And I cover this in Alabama. We can yak all we want about America, but in this century, America has never engaged in conflict. I mean, has never gone to war for territory or conflict. Not in World War I, World War II, Korea, or Vietnam. And if America withdraws, if it turns away, the world would be infinitely less safe or more dangerous than it is today. And I use this as another example. They talk about, those who talk about the Americans of power, those who talk about American power of the world, want us to reduce, eliminate, quit playing, or turn it to ourselves. Nation in the world, they would like to have hands in our revolution at this time. Here, I travel to 70 countries. I talk to leaders in 70 countries. I have yet to find a leader in private conversation, most intimate private conversation, who feared that the power of the United States would ever be used to break peace as far as he was concerned. Conquest of this country, to take away its nation. Yeah, let's be proud of this strength. When we talk about, wouldn't it be great if America would just not go on? Well, the point is that if you can conceive of a world in which America was weak, when America not only didn't have the strength, but the will to maintain it, and were necessary to use it, people who were like that, it would be much, it would be very dangerous for them at this time. And the house is the older couple. We don't put it to that because we're trying to get along with the moment. So what's the basic premise of moving with these lines? Then your whole lines, which, and all of this, of course, you've got as much of this about be proud, instill pride, and your people, and so forth. Another way you might want to get at some of this is to, that you have a challenge in a way that is, you've got to do the war piece in earlier, which is greater than combat. There you risk your life, and make sure your defeat is a clear issue. To be strong when you do not want to use your strength requires character, stamina, and statesmanship of the highest order. Our generation has. And the diplomatic front, on the political front, you know, to see that those who have died in war, where it may be, Vietnam, Korea, and so forth, they will not. If we fail, you will pay a sacrifice. You will have to pay a price, risking your life and sacrifice. If you fail, we cannot succeed. But that's about the kind of thing I'd like to get in. Now, a lot of this, for example, all of your stuff about whether the people of the United States of America are growing too rich, too soft, and so forth, whether we as a nation can come in and share it. It's very rich, so try to find a place for it. We are asking Chart to assign top priority something other than survival. It's not a bad line, it's spying or someplace in the murdering bit. We have a burden to bear if the world not to disintegrate with a vicious anarchy where right might make right. And with that balance, I'll be much more instructive to put that in and have the responsible majority of others. I don't think you can sell your confidential parents in order to not to consider a provision. You're not sure they know. And then the idea that day after day that there was a slow science, this is somewhat overstated. I don't want to create a euphoric view because it's called talks and things in China. We do see evidence as to whether they're developing. Those are just some random thoughts. Let me perhaps try to pull it together in a more orderly fashion. I think that we begin with the proposition that, well, under that standard, it's not a place which is going to be small, small amounts of that. Same time, I was planning to do it before I sent you. I think it can safely be said. I've said it before, I will say it again. I have that presence. Maybe we can discuss the presence in American military presence and find out going through the business there about the we are divided by very definition. If you were to have reduced the danger of war, it must be neutral. All those who have the capacity to make war must reduce. In other words, arms control, limitation of arms, reduction of arms are not ends in themselves. They are only means to an end. The reduction of the danger of war, and that unilateral reduction which is not mutual, increases the danger of war, whereas mutual reduction could reduce that key point. That could be a footing of the name. Then come on. Now, then it comes in. Where do you serve? You have to do the honor country. Well, you serve. I think maybe just going back to Eisenhower, General Eisenhower, he did tell me it's harder in peacetime than wartime. And God knows that's probably would be true in Vietnam. Peacetime soldiers are terrible a lot. Therefore, as far as honor is concerned, public recognition, and as far as what your country will to meet this responsibility, to meet it in terms of let's face the fact that the army hasn't taken a bad run. The actions of a few have been allowed to smear the proud tradition of a great, a magnificent military tradition. And let's not kid ourselves about that. That's true. And here are your opportunities. You must lead. You must lead because there are new problems. No peacetime armies ever had before. Murders and subordination. We never had that in Asia. Not drunkenness, not drunkenness. And Dan Little and subordination is used to shoot it. Now they give a medal for it. A television program. And then you go on to having to go through that. I think that's about the way that I'm not going to sort it out. I want to just take a crack at it. All around.
I was built it out very quickly.
You can see the thrust that I'm covering. Right?
Yes,
sir. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
I'll just give you this. Well, what day is that?
Thank you. fair number?
You read it for me.
No, you've got the hard job. I thought they were gonna be at the other office. Matter of fact, I'm pretty trying to set this up for a picture show.
Is it over? Over at Mitchell?
Who is not by that question? Mitchell can't come?
No, he's not here. He'll be over in a second.
We know you're here. Just well, the president. Okay, go ahead. Very loud.
Thank you very much.
Nice. What a fine job. Appreciate it. Okay, Ray. Fine.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Good luck.
That's the one that Zelda comes over to look at flowers up there.
Are you an artist? Oh, you weren't. You said Nancy.
No, Nancy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, well. I don't know anything about art.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to know if you want to come over to the press lady's shower for Trish and pick up the ladies in 745. Rose thought you would at least be aware that you were invited. They're all here, sir.
Yeah, I know.
I have a statement here prepared by a great party, which I can use. I can see how we can go to.
Yes.
I thought I would do, which was killing the police, the New York police, the recent killing of the police.
Here, Marty.
Right. Would be to say that the president spent the day over this. He'll be when I was with him earlier this afternoon. He told me that he was writing letters to the families of those killed and asked me to say that I would go and would not issue a statement like that, but I would quote what you told me.
Colson.
Yes, sir. I've talked to this as a result of that. But I would quote what you told me and refer to your November directive to the Attorney General,
right,
where you called for the FBI to intervene, and he's agreed from that. And make the point that the Slayton case with the recent days, particularly the New York.
How about the idea, as I was said, that the President feels national scholarship fund children.
I don't know if we are going to answer that.
All right, don't say it now, but let's get at it. Probably say it at a later time. Because I think we ought to do that. The trouble is when we say about scholarship fund. Vietnam?
Yeah.
I think Vietnam, you got that policeman. Yeah.
Now, do you want me to pay this meeting on this?
Yes, sir. That's what this is on. This and drugs.
This.
Well.
No.
This policeman and related issues, policeman being a priority issue and something with drugs.
Yes, sir.